alcoholic. And I'm not nervous at all. It's amazing. Rigorous honesty, that was a lie. So the other day I had this like missed call from a random number, and Chris asked me to speak, and I'm like crying because of other things and like having the shittiest week ever and not doing very well. And I was like, God damn it, I can't do this right now. My life is too hard. So I like call my sponsor up and like cry about other stuff. And then I'm like, oh, and yeah, Chris called me and asked me to speak. And I'm thinking like, oh, she's going to let me off the hook. She'll be like, oh, sweetheart, you're having such a hard time. You can't do this. And she like squealed. It's like, congrats. Oh, that's great. Oh man, that's it. Oh, fuck. So high. But I've actually realized there's a theme in my sobriety that any time that I'm going to qualify, I'm having an awful time, and I always want to get out of it, and then I remember that this isn't about me, and if anything, it's great to get up here when I'm having a hard time, because that's some pretty sweet experience, strength, and hope that I can be having a shitty time and not be drunk right now. So, there's that. Okay, so my sobriety date is March 14th, 2011. For any people counting days, that's around like 1,144 days, which I don't keep a tally, I just Google it. But I like to say that because when I first got sober and it was like counting days and, you know, somebody'd get like a year and I'd be like, oh my God. And then somebody get like 30 years, and I'm like, okay, that's bullshit. Like, how do you do that? But like, you know, when you hear somebody say how many days, it's like, oh, okay, this is where it starts. Let's see. I go to meetings. I work the steps. I have a sponsor. I don't sponsor yet, but I will. And I put my sobriety first, and that has let me have that many days not drunk. Little background, I grew up in this town of like 900 people in nowhere, Wisconsin, where drinking is like a job. And in Wisconsin, you can go to the bar with your parents at whatever age, because teach them young, I don't know. I had my first drink when I was 14. It was a bottle of Budweiser. Tasted awful. I loved it. And up until that point, I guess, I mean, I feel like you hear this a lot. I was super anxious. I can, like, still remember the times that I got in trouble when I was a little kid because it was, like, the end of the world to me. I was terrified of getting in trouble. I was, like, such a people pleaser. I was super, super shy. And was just basically kind of nervous all the time and always worried about what everybody was thinking of me. And when I just was kind of, like, remembering that, like, that first drink, I relaxed. And it wasn't like that, like, oh, I've arrived, that line that will be said, but it was just, I just chilled the fuck out. And I remember then just wanting to do it again and again and again, which, you know, if I would have known then what I know now. Throughout my teenage years, I didn't really get ramped up because that whole afraid of, you know, getting in trouble thing, but around 18, I had my first blackout, and then it was just, like, off to the races, as they would say. When I first walked into this room, I was, like, baffled to see so many young people sober, or, like, people that are my age that have, like, 15 years or something absurd, because it just wouldn't have even occurred to me to get sober, like, when I was a teenager. That was just, like, again, the Wisconsin thing. It was like, well, everybody blacks out, like, there's nothing wrong. Like, it's fine. Like, I got arrested when I was 19 and, like, woke up in detox and had no idea. And, like, met with the counselor. And he's like, you know, if you black out, that might be a problem. And I was like, listen, buddy, I'm in college. Shut up. And I think it was once the bruises wore off from the handcuffs that I started drinking again. So it was, like, 4 days or something. But anyway, my drinking was really just kind of a roller coaster. Like, I would just go super hard, like, blacking out every weekend several times, like, pick a number. And then something shitty would happen, and I'd take a little break or, like, just, you know, try to, like, count or whatever. which never worked. Like, I think even when people would talk about counting drinks, I was like, why bother? Like, I'm not going to pay attention. but I would get to these points where I would stop for a little bit, or I'd think I'd had a handle on it, and then I would just keep going. And I had a few instances where, like, I worked at a summer camp, so I didn't drink there. I was a sailor for a while, so we'd, like, and when they're in port, they drink like them, but when they're sailing, they don't actually drink at all, so we just make up lost time when we get in. But I noticed that these times, or I'd be traveling and, like, not have any money, so I just literally couldn't get drunk. And when I had those times of, like, kind of forced sobriety, I noticed that I started to feel better about myself. I noticed that I was much less of an asshole. I was much less self-centered. And I just kind of gave a shit more. And I didn't miss that feeling of, like, waking up and being like, fuck, where's my wallet? Where's my phone? Who are you? Like, that never happened. Rigorous honesty, that was a lie. but, so those kind of moments just sort of, like, started to plant seeds. I think I was, like, 24 when I met my friend Serena, and she's not in the program, but she got sober when she was 16, and she was, like, small town. I think AA was like, I'm not going to go with all the, like, old dudes in town. And maybe it just didn't even occur to her, but, like, I remember when I met her, and I was like, so you don't drink? Like, what? What, how, like, what, like, why is that? Like, what, how did that happen? And she just said, well, I used to a lot. And I was like, oh. And I remember this voice in my head very distinctly that was like, I need to do that someday, but I'm just not ready. So it was kind of there in the back of my head that, like, this needed to go down, but I just didn't have it happening yet. So, yeah, I guess, you know, I just, the self-esteem piece was really big, where, like, I just always was feeling like a piece of shit. Every time I would start to feel a little bit better, then I'd, like, black out and, I don't know, insert shitty situation here. Like, it was just never really that fun. And even if I thought it was fun, like, I got really good at, like, the morning after a big party where I, like, would wake up not knowing what was happening and everybody would be talking and laughing about what was going on. And I would just, like, play along. Like, I would just be laughing, like, oh, yeah, oh, man, that was hilarious. Are you guys talking about? I have no idea. Or, like, the, you know, meeting people and, like, not knowing, have I actually met you before? Like, and just kind of getting good at being like, oh, hey, what's up? How's it going? Like, don't know. Yeah, so let's see. I mean, basically, it just kind of continued like that. Up, down, up, down, up, down. And then I was on another boat. Things started to get shitty again. I was living on a boat with this guy that I was dating, and there was one particular night where, you know, again, me being an alcoholic, the next morning he said, you know, would it help you to quit drinking if I quit drinking too? And that was basically the first time that somebody had just, like, point blank been like, yo, quit being a dumbass. And of course, I just was like, whatever, I'm fine, I don't need to quit drinking. But I think it was, like, 3 or 4 weeks later. I left this boat because I was an alcoholic and not having a very good time anymore. And I went back to Minnesota to crash with my parents for a few weeks. And I went to Wisconsin for this, like, St. Patty's Day, day-long drinking fest. And I was like, I'm just not going to drink that much, you know. So that started with, like, Bloody Marys at 9 a.m. and, like, followed by God knows what. I think I blacked out by, you know, like, noon maybe. And then kind of came out of it at, like, 6 p.m. and then went back into it. And managed to cheat on said boyfriend. And I just kind of went through this, like, stupor of a hangover where I just, like, pretended it didn't happen. And I'd done that a lot before of just like, I'll just pretend that this didn't happen. I would like treat like drunk Ellie as this like separate entity of like, oh, that wasn't really me. Like, oh, that girl that you had to like, you know, rescue off the toilet because she passed out. Yeah, no, that wasn't me. That was somebody else. Like, totally not me. I'm a woman of dignity and grace. Mind you. But then I woke up, so that was like March 13th, and then March 14th woke up, and really the booze had kind of like chilled out a little bit, and I woke up and was just like, what the fuck? And it was like I wanted to vomit and cry and crawl under a rock all at the same time. And I just remember driving back to Minneapolis and basically just taking the longest nap on my parents' couch so that I just wouldn't have to feel anything. And I looked up this therapist and was like, I've gotta do something. Like there's, and really at that point it was like, this guy's never gonna forgive me. It wasn't really about that I needed to do something for me. It was about somebody else, but hey, whatever gets you in. So I went and saw this lady and what I realize now is that I was just so ready and she could see it. And I could see what the connection was. Like, she even alluded to some other, like, another client that she had that had all these problems and also drank a lot, but didn't see that the connection was there. And I very much knew, like, I was sick of cleaning up drunk Ellie's messes. Because drunk Ellie just was not really that graceful. She was not a classy broad. And this woman just was like, you know, keep running, do this with your diet, get some fish oil, and go to 5 AA meetings and come back and see me next week. And I was like, five? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I've got shit to do, like, stuff. And mind you, I'd like, looked up that morning. That was the first time I'd actually looked up AA and took one of those quizzes, you know, but actually answered it honestly. And it was like, it gave me this like pie chart of like, this is what people your age drink like. And there was this teeny little sliver. It was like, this is you. All right. All right, booze bag. Like, quit lying to yourself. So anyway, I went to meetings. And I showed up and I just cried right away. And they were super nice to me. And there was this guy named Joe. He was this like 50-year-old dude that just was like, okay, all right, you know, let's hook you up with some ladies. And like, and I just sat in this room, and these women, like, when I, in Minnesota, they celebrate like 30, 60, 90. So when I got my 30-day medallion, this guy said that like the women in that room just surrounded me like a warm blanket. And it was like they just kind of made this little cocoon and let me cry. And I like said I was an alcoholic for the first time, even though I totally didn't believe it because I was just trying to make sure my boyfriend didn't break up with me. And they were just, they were smiling, which was totally fucked up. But they were just so nice. And like, I'm crying and like, they hand me a tissue and say everything's going to be okay. And I like believed them. And I took the book home and read it like it was a bestseller. A, because I'm a nerd, and also because it was like somebody had looked inside my brain and picked out all these thoughts I would never tell anyone and wrote them down. Like, the one that really got me was that we're obsessed with that someday we'll learn how to drink like a normal person. I had like literally had that exact sentence go through my head. I was hanging out with a friend. We had a beer. I was like, oh, do you want another one? And she said, oh, no, I'm cool. And I was like, how, when am I going to know, like, when do you get that, like, do they give you, like, a manual or a chip or something that, like, makes you do it? They don't. So I just, basically, it took about, like, 36 hours for me to just be like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. And then it probably took another, like, 4 days for me to be like, forget this guy, I'm doing this for me. Because it runs in my family, like 100% of the grandparents, all sorts of aunts and uncles, Irish Catholic, yay. And basically what it came down to, like, I wasn't drinking every day. I hadn't, I'd never been fired from a job. I didn't crash my car. There was a lot of wiggle room for me to be like, well, but I haven't done this. And basically what it came down to is I was like, I have enough evidence. I've done enough research here to know that I fit this. You're telling me this is progressive. I'm going to believe you because so far what you've told me seems to be true. And I just thought, I have, as far as I know, I've got one life and I want it to be fucking awesome. So I decided I'm going to do this. I had a sponsor like right away. That ended up not, you know, I think I worked with her for like 70 days or something like that. And then was like, I was starting to feel like it wasn't going to work. But I like to kick the shit out of myself. So I was like, oh my God, I'm doing AA all wrong. They're going to kick me out. But I reached out to some like, you know, old timers, and they were just like, well, you know, like, has she brought up some things that would maybe make you want to push her away or blah, blah, blah. And then they were like, or maybe it's just not a good fit. You know, like you don't just get a sponsor and then you two stay together until one of you dies. Like, which was really helpful because it was also like a first time for me to like stand up for what I needed and like learn how to trust my gut. And as it turned out, then I met the sponsor that was like totally made for me. She was just like, and that, I mean, get a sponsor. It's toss it out to the universe that you're looking for one, and they'll show up. And I guess early sobriety, I just had some, like, moments that really got me where, like, the higher power thing, I'd always, like, hated the whole, like, you know, who is God, what is, you know, whatever. And I realized that what works for me is to just not even try to define any of that stuff and just know that there's something outside of me. And my, like, favorite example of this is I was, like, 10 days sober. I'm going to this big speaker meeting of, like, 300, 400, 500 people. I don't know. Some people had told me to go, so I was like, all right. And I had this like mini pink cloud in my first few days where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm hopeful. I'm like skipping through fields of daisies and thinking like, this is the best thing ever. And then this was like the first day that I was like, this is bullshit. Why do I have to change? This sucks. And so I'd heard enough people say like, show up when you don't want to show up. And so I went and I'm sitting in the parking lot before I go into this meeting. And I just was like, all right, God, I'm going to go into this meeting, even though I don't want to, and was basically like, get in my face, show me what you got. And so I went in and like people told their story and I was like, okay, I mean, I relate because they're alcoholics, like whatever. And then this chick from Intergroup got up and they just had their like meeting, and their, you know, finances are hard and blah, blah, blah. But you know, these services are really important. And like, here's why, here's this hopeful story. And she tells this story about a young woman going into Intergroup to buy some meditation books and talking about, you know, I called Intergroup and they sent me to a meeting and I've been going every day since, and I already feel so much better. And I was like ready to hide under my seat because I was the young woman that walked into Intergroup. So I'm like, I asked God to get in my face. And then this chick tells a story to 500 people about me. And I was like, all right. All right, that's in my face, I get it. And basically the moral of that story is that it just told me that I was really in the right spot. And then, I don't know, shit just started to happen. Like, it was not, I got sober and then life was sunshine and rainbows and like cute little unicorns. It was like, it fucking sucked for like a while. And I like to kind of talk about that, and even like that I'm kind of having a hard time right now. Like, I just moved to New York and it kind of sucks. Like, it's starting to get a little bit better, but like, it's still really hard. And when I was new, it was like, I'd hear these people be all like, you know, I got sober and then I got $1 million. And I was like, wow, what am I doing wrong? And it was like, what I realized is like, if it hurts like hell, you're probably doing it right. Like, and you don't have to drink over it. And I have had, like, good chunks of time where it's been, you know, the unicorns showed up for a little bit. And they say, what's up? but, like, you know, it's all just life just kind of keeps on rolling. And she's writing me a note. I'm really excited. I have 5 minutes with a smiley face and a horse. or maybe it's a unicorn. Just theme. But yeah, life just kind of keeps going up and down. And, you know, I went to the meditation thing right before this, and I thought it was really perfect because I was, like, texting my sponsor. I was like, oh, my God, I'm nervous. And she's like, don't judge yourself before you even get up there. Like, be nice. And that's just kind of a theme in my sobriety is, like, I didn't even know how much of an asshole I was to myself. And, like, now I kind of see that, like, asshole part of me, and I'm like, all right, chill out. We're cool here. Like, don't tell her to shut up because that's a part of me. Like, just kind of learning how to be nice to myself. And, like, that sponsor that I met in Minnesota, I mean, she told me to start watching my thoughts. And it's one of the, like, best gifts she ever gave to me because I suddenly realized that I was, like, everything I was doing, there was this voice being like, you should be doing this. You should be doing this. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you? Look at that person. They seem like they have got it all together. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And then I was like, holy shit, man, I am mean to myself. And it was, like, heartbreaking. This maybe will seem kind of cheesy or whatever, but, like, we'd be, like, driving around or, you know, she'd be driving me home from the meeting and I'd be, like, having a hard time. And she'd be like, you're really lovable. You're so lovable. And it sounds kind of, you know, it's, like, hokey, but I would just, like, burst into tears because the voice was like, no, I'm not. But then, you know, she started making me do, like, affirmations and shit, which I was like, all right, I love myself just the way I am. But I did it. But I was like, all right, you told me to do all this other shit, and it worked. So I'll do this, too, and we'll see. And I distinctly remember the morning that I said all these things that she tells me to say, and the voice wasn't there anymore. And it was like amazing. And to, like, she'll be like, you're really awesome, you know that? And I'll be like, yeah. And it's like I celebrated at one of the other meetings, and the person that spoke for me, like, told that story of, like, I'll tell Ellie that she's awesome, and she'll be like, yeah, I am. And I was like, you have to call my sponsor from Minnesota and tell her that, because it'll make her cry that that's what you see when you meet me. Because before, I was like, no, I'm a big piece of shit. Like, what are you talking about? But yeah, I don't know. Being in New York has definitely kind of gotten a little shaky. I'm being a little bit meaner to myself, and we're working on it. But kind of preparing, like, thinking about speaking tonight, I was kind of thinking, like, what are the themes? And that the things that have been, shooken up, shaken up? What the hell is that word? Whatever. I'm not perfect. Is that, like, the, like, self-care piece, that, like, that's kind of what's gone by the wayside because I'm just trying to, like, find my feet here. And that if I'm taking good care of myself, then my program feels in order and my sobriety doesn't feel shaky. Like, feeling here, like, I've had a lot more cravings and things like that has totally freaked me out, which was great because then it got me to get a sponsor here, which I really needed. And just, like, really, I think I always thought that was, like, selfish to take care of myself. But what I realized is, like, it's actually really selfless because if I'm not taking care of myself, then there's no way that I can help other people, be of service. And, you know, if I'm not taking care of myself, I just kind of end up being an asshole again. And this program just really teaches us how to not be assholes. And so I just kind of want to run with that. It's really nice to be here. I was super nervous when I celebrated my anniversary at this meeting, and I told somebody about it, and I said that, like, afterwards I felt much better. And they were like, yeah, you felt held by those people. Like, you weren't sure how it was going to feel, but you felt held by those people. So thanks for letting me come here and be held. Yeah, thanks.
Mickey, and I'm an alcoholic. Yes, you are. Welcome. that's never had a label 3, please make increase expenses. We passed the basket twice in order to meet our 7 tradition responsibilities, such as rent, literature, and contributions to AA service bodies. Mr. Treasurer, have we met our expenses this evening?
Scott, alcoholic.
Hi, Scott.
Still need $15 to meet our expenses this evening.
Thank you.
Scott.
Yes, we passed the basket twice. Please give what you can, and remember, if you can't give, don't worry. We need you more than we need your money. Is anyone here for the first time or visiting from out of town that would like to say hello? Hi. Welcome. Celebrating 90 days or an anniversary, a year or more in the month of
May.
Oh my God, it's May. May flowers. Hi.
I'm an alcoholic. God willing, the 12th will be 6 years.
Congratulations, everyone. The group has an anniversary meeting in the last Thursday of each month, or last week, but if you wish to celebrate your anniversary with us, please sign up on the anniversary list, which is with our literature representative, Nanny, in the back. Also, if you wish to join this group, please come to our business meeting, which is the first Thursday of each month right after the meeting, so it's tonight. Stay after if you're interested. Is there any news from our literature representative?
We had a great time at King's Blues, and we also
Thank you.